Well, glad that you guys are here today, and part of this is always great to send seniors off, which is always very, very positive. I did this at the end of December last year, kind of state of the church, and I want to do a little bit of a recap of this, which I know is maybe not the most exhilarating sermon you will hear all year, but it's very important for us to take these moments to actually talk about where our church is and also where our church is going, to speak about the past and the present and the future. Because these things are important, and it's one of those things that we need to keep central to our church and to our members so that people understand what we're trying to do. One of the commitments that I made to you in November of last year when we talked about tithing and we talked about budgets, which we do every October, November, at the end of each year, we talked about giving and investing in the life of the church. And one of the things that we've seen this year with our numbers is that our offerings, you can see what that is. And by the way, whoever gave that 35 cents, thank you so much. That has really helped us do a lot of things. But our over for the year is, up year to date, is you guys have overgiven what we anticipated you would give. And it doesn't mean that you can stop giving now. Please don't do that, because we have a lot of things that I'm going to share with you today that we are trying hard to put money back for, so that when those needs arise, that we actually do have enough of those finances. But I want to show you kind of where we are and what a great job you guys have been doing about this. And when we consider where we have been, one of the things I want you to know is that as a church, we have counted everything for the last 3.5 years. And we don't do that because we're trying to make ourselves feel better on a Monday morning. We do that because we're trying to track where our church is going. There are intentional things that we have done for the last 3.5 years that are leading to some of the things that we are seeing. And I want to share those with you. I want you to understand where those things are and how they're happening. I want to show you these numbers. Now, unfortunately in churches, the two ways that we mark how well we're doing as a church is how much money people give and how many people we have at church. And I want to tell you that those two things have precious little to do with the health of a church. They are good markers when you're doing things right. But just because something is growing doesn't mean that it's necessarily healthy, because weeds grow too. So you got to be careful. And we as a church have never focused on growth. We've always focused on health, because healthy things do tend to grow. But when we started this about 3.5 years ago, we had about 200 people and about 15 kids. Okay, so ministry started quite small. And some of you that are coming here are going, wow, I would never have thought that, because I've only been coming here for about 6 months. In 2016, we had a small growth overall. We had our children's ministry about doubled in size. We actually did lose a few adults that first year. And then in 2017, you're going to notice that while our children's ministry grew, our overall numbers actually went down. And part of this is what we call the purge. There were some people who were not going to go where we were going to go as a church. There were some people that resisted what we were trying to do, and they said, this is no longer going to be their church. And we had to very graciously say, that's okay with us. Okay. We went through a time because we were implementing certain things that you see now today that they did not want to be a part of or did not find value in. And in 2018, year to date, our average is about 300. Okay. Now, you notice what's happened. Our kids in the last 6 months, this is since December, has about gained about 40 kids, and about 40 adults. Now, our trends told us that this year we would be at about 249. So you can already see what's happening. Okay, our student ministry, for instance, the one that Christy came on board to lead, we didn't have a lot of kids that were a part of that. Now we have 15 core kids that come just about every single week. And 10 kids out of our children's ministry in August, when we do our graduation, are going to be graduating into that ministry. Now, in the fall, she's going to have 25 kids, and that's if nobody else comes. That's just with the people that we have on site right now. Now, what does that all mean? This is what it means, our numbers. If we follow the trends of the last 6 months over the course of the next 18 months, our church will be pushing 400 people. Okay, now that might be really exciting to you, or that might not be really exciting to you, because that means other things are going to have to happen here. But even if what has happened since December till today happens over 18 months, which is probably unlikely, we are going to have some, what people say, these are good problems to have. Not quite sure what a good problem to have is. We try to call them God opportunities or God moments, because there's some things we're going to have to navigate as we move forward. In December, I showed you this graph, which is a graph that's generally accepted as the life cycle of churches. that takes about 8 years with almost no effort to go through this graph. And in the first year we launched this, there's momentum growth. You can see right where we are now. And the next 3 years are probably going to be some of the largest growing years that we experience as a church. If the last 6 months tells us anything, the next 2.5 years are going to tell us a lot more as well. Now, the key is when the graph starts to turn down, we've got to try to make sure that we revision things and keep things going in the same direction, keep things trending upwards, which is something that we intentionally can do. In December, I read a passage out of Nehemiah chapter 6 where Nehemiah and the Israelites are rebuilding the wall of Israel. They're basically rebuilding this wall. And all the surrounding kings don't like this idea that Israel's becoming a prominent force again. They don't like the fact that God has kind of chosen them and has returned to Israel and is doing something good. And so they really try hard to distract and detract Nehemiah from what he's doing. And they always are asking for these meetings. Hey, let's have a meeting. Let's have a conference. Let's talk about this. And Nehemiah's response in chapter 6 is amazing because he says, I am doing a great work right now, and I'm not going to come down. Why should I come down and talk to you while God is doing something powerful? And it says they do this 4 times with Nehemiah. And after he says no to them finally because we're doing something good, they leave him alone. And that's kind of where our church is. You guys have helped and been a part of something that has really led what has happened here in a phenomenal way. And we're doing a good work. And we're not going to be sidetracked right now. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Which leads us to the question, where are we going? Where are we going as a church? It's important for us to know the answer to this. Now, I want to do that by asking you a couple of questions that you have to answer as well. And that's this. Why are you at Journey Church? Why are you here? Did you come here because you've always come to church here? Did you come here because, well, you live close and it just was the closest church that you wouldn't be late to? Which some of you are still late to. Amarillo is not that bad. Thank you. We'll pray for you. But why are you here? Are you here just because, well, we got to go to church somewhere? Or are you here because you truly want to be a part of this? I mean, when you drive up, what is your hope for this church? When you drive up and pull in and say, man, I can't wait to see it when this church does this. If I moved away and came back in 5 years, I would love to see this happening at this church. I would love to see the community that used to be so far across the field. I would love to see this church really pouring in. What would you love to see? What is your hope and your desire as you are a part of this church? What do you want to see happen here at Journey Church? And share that with us. Share. My hope and my desire is that I want to see us doing this, and I want to see us doing that, and I want to see us involved in a variety of things. Now, I want to talk for a second about complaints. There's a reason why we don't have suggestion boxes around the building. And that doesn't deter some of you. I want to tell you something. Complaining is not a spiritual gift. And prefacing something with, well, just trying to be honest, stop it. Almost every week, people are amazed by this, almost every week somebody comes to me complaining about something. I don't like this, I don't like that, why do we do this, why don't we do that? Almost every week. Now, I want to tell you this. When you come to me, it usually starts this way. I don't like. My eyes will glaze over like I've eaten way too many donuts, and I'll just look at you and probably ignore you. Because that's not a gift. If somebody came to me and said, you know what, God has placed this on my heart and I've been praying about it and I want to try to share with you about something that I see as an issue, I will listen to you all day. But the spirit of complaining that is so prevalent in all of our lives and not just about church, it needs to go away. It needs to stop. There's nothing fruitful that comes from antagonizing people that are trying to serve you. Matt and April Barker, April grew up in New Zealand, Matt and them, they lived there, and they were part of this church. And they shared this story with me a few years back. They went through this series in their church in New Zealand, and the pastor got up, and church is slightly different there, and the mantra of it was, if you want a new church, pray for the one you have. If you want a new pastor, pray for the one you have. Okay? You want a new marriage, Pray for the one you have. We live in a society that is so driven by consumerism that if you don't like something, you just go somewhere else. If you don't like shopping at Target, you go to Walmart. If you don't like eating at Burger King, you go to McDonald's. And there's no such thing as loyalty anymore. There's no such thing as actually going through difficult things with each other anymore. It's about if you don't give me what I want all the time, I'm going to look for it somewhere else. And I want to tell you that that is an attitude that needs to stop, especially in the realm of church. We need people that have some skin in the game that say, you know what, if something's not good and I don't like something, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, God, maybe the people we need to lead that at our church, I'm not here yet. And I need to pray that those people will come to our church. And maybe I need to pray for that leader and say encouraging things to that leader rather than criticize and pick out all the things that weren't right at lunch on Sundays in the service. We have got to become a people that begin with what God is calling us to and then pouring that in to the life of our church and being invested. Not saying I'm going to be here until it gets bad, but saying I'm going to be here because this is where God can use me. That's the attitude that we have to foster here as a church. And so this morning, I want to share some vision and some mission, some past and future with you so that you know. Hosea says it so well in chapter 4 when he's addressing the people of Israel. He writes to them and he says, my people are destroyed because they have no vision. What that means is, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. If you don't know where you're going, you will almost always make a bad choice unless you've made that decision before. Think about the high school seniors. What should we tell them? You need to make those decisions in your mind before you get to them, because if you try to make them in the moment, you'll probably make a bad choice. We need to know where we are heading and where we are being led. Because if we just sort of meander around, it will lead our lives to ultimate destruction. Now, a lot of churches that are about our size start to become what we call program churches, meaning they offer this and they offer that and they have this group and they have this ministry and all those kinds of things. And those are very good. Ministries are very good. Programs are really good. But we've got to think less in terms of programs and more in terms of values. What are we trying to instill in people that are a part of our church? When somebody starts in Julie's ministry at, 8 months old and they graduate at 18 out of Christie's ministry, what kind of values as a church do we want to instill in them? What kind of things do we want to partner with their parents and say, hey, this is how you do this part of your life. This is what it means to have faith. This is how you pray. This is where you turn in difficult times. Programs sometimes can do that. But we've got to be a church that values certain things. I know the screens are kind of small, but we developed this a number of years ago called the Journey Tree. And at the bottom here, we need bigger screens, but at the bottom here are kind of our core values. These are the things that we spend a lot of time involved in, like the Word of God and prayer and vision and staff and leadership and membership and volunteering and these kinds of things. Because like any organic image, if the root system is strong, the tree that grows will be fruitful in ministry. And we have that ministry designated through worship and evangelism and the next generation and outreach and community. And then the fruit that falls down the sides of healthy trees are more and more people that continue to come and be involved and invested and transformed in this place. The next one's really no better. Some of these things, I've got some check marks. Some of them we're doing pretty good at. And there's some areas that we well know that are in progress and that are slowly coming and being formed. And we're intentional about trying to make sure that we're continuing to pour into our core values and that we're continuing to grow the right ministries in the right healthy ways so that ultimately this is something that can sustain itself in time. A large part of that has to do with our leadership and our staff. We have an exceptional leadership and an even more exceptional staff at this church. We have people that come to work excited and happy and are engaged with what we're doing. The amount of stuff that happens here between Monday and Saturday to get ready for what's happening with the kids or the students or even in this place is huge. It's phenomenal. We have people that are doing exceptional things. Even with our leadership, we have sort of two branches of leadership. We have executive leaders and we have apprentice leaders. Our apprentice leaders are a pool of people that are showing signs of leadership but still need to be grown in a few areas. And they're a pool that we're drawing from when we need some more leaders that serve at the highest level. Okay, we're not just, it's not like a church that you maybe went to that one week Joe was just there and the next week he was a deacon or an elder or a member of the board and had never had any kind of leadership or managed a Starbucks and now suddenly is a church leader. It's not the same thing. We're trying to be very intentional about our leadership and our staff at this church, and I'm going to tell you why. Because my honest belief is that 99% of the time, if there's a problem in an organization, it has to do with its leadership. If you have an unhealthy leadership, the organization will not be healthy, and it will show signs of rot and of unhealthiness and of mold. Most problems that we have can always be traced back to leadership. We're not perfect leaders, but we're trying to do something that's bigger than any single person. It's not about domineering. It's about walking together and doing our best to listen to God and each other and leading this place forward. Leadership matters. I've been the pastor of this church about 3.5 years, and it's a role that I love most days. I have my days where it's tough. And I'm going to tell you something that's happening. Our church is getting bigger. And everybody wants a piece of the pastor, and everybody thinks they deserve a piece of the pastor, and our members kind of do. But on Sunday mornings, I don't get to say hi to all of you. And sometimes I see people, well, he didn't say hi to me. It's not because I don't care about you. It's because I'm looking for those faces that are new. Because I want to make sure that they feel welcomed when they come in here. And maybe, just maybe, if you stop focusing on the pastor not greeting me, maybe look for those faces yourself. It'll bother you a lot less. I'm not looking over you because I don't care about you. I know you're here. I know you're invested. I'm trying to find those people that are still just coming back and making sure that they feel God's welcome. What Brad and I do on Sunday mornings is one focus. We believe people are changed by an encounter with God, and our job is to help create the encounter. That's it. And that means if somebody gets a handshake or a donut or a cup of coffee or we walk their kids back, that means we are welcoming them here. And you can be a part of that as well. One of the things that I also do a lot of is counseling. In the last month, I've had 8 new couples that want me to counsel them. I don't have enough time. Because one of the things that we're doing is we're reaching young families. Young families that are coming back to church after maybe a long time. And one of the things that they do is they want to continue this journey of faith with their kids, which is wonderful and powerful. But a lot of times they've been married for 10 or 12 or 15 years, and their marriage has found those nice little ruts. And they realize that in order to be better parents and better in their marriages together, they need a little bit of help to do that, and we know that that's coming. We had our marriage class. Tonight's our last meeting, for those of you that are a part of that. Tonight's our last meeting of that. We had enough for 3 groups. We were only able to do 2. And a lot of people can come through the marriage group, and it'll do great, and it'll help their marriage, and it'll be part of this process that they're on. But I'm just one person, and I cannot spend all of my time engaged with every single person. I have to say no to that. Not that I want to say no to you, but my time just does not allow that. Now, one of the great things is this. This is a place that some of you can be involved. Because we need some people. I've already approached one of the couples that has been in our marriage group, and they're already helping some friends and family with some of the lessons that they have. There's a couple of others that have talked to me. We're gonna train up some lay counselors, some pastoral leaders that are going to help. So when people come that are not yet here and they're in a marriage and we say, well, they're young. Hey, we got this couple that you can walk with and that they will tend to you and that they will help you on this journey as well. And that's where you come in. You get to step up and be a part of this. Now, we obviously need very specialized people. We are going to provide some training and some help in this. And I got this little video that I think is going to be kind of funny for us to watch. This is what we're not looking for, but let's watch this video and then I'll tell you what we are looking for.
Should I lay down?
Oh, no, we don't. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. And there's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it!
Okay, if you saw yourself in that video, you're not who we're looking for, and we will help you. Now, we are looking for some people that have some natural giftedness and are willing to have a bit of training that we can... We can guide people towards that we can help people engage. People need this. This is a huge part of why they're coming back to church, and they're looking for guidance to walk them forward. And if that's something that you do have some giftedness in, then this is something that in the fall we're going to try to offer to people a little bit more to help take the burden off of our staff as well. Not completely, but just to share that load with some of you as well. I want to just share a few sort of rapid-fire things here at the end, just so that you can be aware of what's happening. You know, after about a year of us starting this in 2016, we built that parking lot expansion or extension that goes that way down there that some of you have to park in on Sunday mornings. When we have a full Sunday, we have less than 5 open parking spaces. So part of what we did is we didn't take into account before we built our children's wing that we were going to run out of parking. When we first started this, before we even had that expansion, part of what some of you saw is that people had to park in the bar ditch all the way down. And we did actually have some people that shared with us and said, we can't come to church there because when we drive up on Sundays, there's just no place to park. And that was just a reality that we had to deal with. And we built the expansion, which has helped us. problem now is if we grow in any direction towards what we think we're going to, we're going to be out of parking, and you have to ask yourself on a snowy day, do you want to park in the grass? Probably no. That's not a long-term solution. One of the things we're going to have to do is add another section to our parking lot, which I'm going to share with you in future days, because we do need places for people to park, people to be there. It's just one of those things. I hate the fact that parking would be the reason why people don't come to church, but it is part of that reality that we have to address. One of the branches is talking about community. What you're going to see in the fall, and especially in 2019, is there's going to be a huge move and push towards small groups. A lot of us grew up in Sunday school models. Sunday school models are about a teacher and a class. Groups are about community. We are a church right now, a church that has some groups. We are going to become a groups church. The primary way that we're going to do outreach and involve our people in community is going to be through the venue of groups. And most churches, all of you have probably been to a church that has done this at some point or another. There's going to be a huge shift that takes place in our church over the course of the next year. That's going to lead us more towards this idea of community, that people grow in circles, not rows, as they say. This is something that we are going to talk about, and there's a great need for this. What about young adult ministry? Now you think, well, aren't we just going back to a ton of programs now? Well, no. These are genuine places that we need certain things. Look, a couple years ago, our children's was not where it needed to be. Now it is. 6 months ago, our students was not where it needed to be. Now it is. Do you know that 70 to 80% of kids that have been to church their whole lives that graduate high school leave church after they graduate high school? Okay, it's a huge gap that we're dealing with in our lives, and one of the things that we want to ensure, not just that we're offering programs, but that we have venues and appropriate places where people can be engaged and involved. Now, our groups will help with a lot of that, but we also need as a church to make sure that we are covering different generations of people. We focused our attention where we have needed to for as long as we can, but now it is time for us to start taking those steps, and we need you to pray about those things. We need you to be engaged in those things and invested and involved in those things, because it's going to happen quicker than we think, and we better be ready for these things that are about to happen. So I come back to my initial question. Why are you here? I hope this is exciting to you. I know these are not the most earth-shattering sermons, but I hope you start to see what is happening in this place. Ask us, how many of you weren't here, you know, a year ago or 6 months ago? How many of you didn't get to see a lot of this, but you're seeing what's happening now? Even you, after 6 months, can see what is happening. Why are you here? Do you want to be here? Is this something that you want to be a part of? And the next question is this, is what will it take for you to become Journey Church? This church is not the building. You guys are the church. The people are always the church. And what we want to do here is we want to do something that matters and is valuable and that leads people to Christ. What would it take for you to become this? What would it take for you to be serious, not to just, we go to church when we feel like it and be a part of something here and there? What would it take for you to be all in, to have some skin in the game, to not say, well, as long as they offer this, I'll be there, but as soon as they take it away, I'm leaving? You're going to see some sermon series coming up that are going to basically talk about this theme. What are you willing to give up for somebody to know Jesus? Are you willing to give up your chair? I hear people Sundays, they're sitting in my seat. It's serious. You know what my response is? And? Well, I don't like that kind of worship. Well, there are people that are here that are being blessed by that. I wish your preaching was different. Well, go somewhere else then. Well, maybe it's blessing the life of somebody else. What am I willing to set aside? Instead of going to our Sunday lunches and picking apart all the things that would make us a perfect church, I want those things to be those are the places where God has the most potential and the most power to do good. There are people that are going to come through our doors and continue to come through our doors. And maybe you're here today and this is your first time and you came through our doors because somebody told you, hey, that's a church you'd be accepted at. That's a church you won't be overlooked. And what if for us we started to think in terms of sacrifice? Would you be willing to stand in a service so somebody else could sit and come to know Jesus? Would you be willing to serve somewhere so that a child's life would be changed? Are you willing to give and invest instead of just sitting on the sidelines and throwing in a little bit here and there, but saying, I'm all in. I'm going to be engaged in a part of this. I'm going to give up some of my time and some of my efforts. I'm going to stop complaining, and I'm going to start praying for this church. I'm going to be engaged in what needs to happen here. I think all of us in this room need to give up a little bit of our time every day to pray for this church and pray for our pastors and pray for our leaders and pray for people. Maybe your prayer is, you know, Lord, there's people that need to be at our church that don't even know that they need to be there. Please bring them to us. And when they come in, I'm going to do my best to, Lord, let me have eyes to see so that when somebody comes in, I can welcome them properly. God, please just right now start to develop that space in whatever group that I'm uncomfortable and going to make every excuse not to go to. But God, I know I need to be a part of that. Please just help that be a part of what, you know, becomes a part of my life. God, just pour your vision into my life. Let me see things differently. Let me be positive about what's happening rather than always seeking the lowest road. God will do amazing things through this church if we always keep him first. Because I got news for you. Jesus is the leader of this church. Not our leadership, not our pastors, not our staff, Jesus. And when we submit to him and get in line behind him, he will do amazing things. If you don't believe that, you remember those numbers. God has chosen us to be a light right here. We're the ones that are slow to that. We need to pray that God breaks down walls and breaks open areas of our lives, that we can not just go to church, but that we can become the Lord's church. Because when we become the Lord's church, you think 400's a lot. There are thousands of people within 5 miles of here that do not know Jesus. If you want a place to go to, that's probably not going to be here. If you want a place where the kingdom of God has a venue to break forth because he is in charge, then welcome aboard. Father, this morning, may you just incite us with vision, and may you just bless our hearts and overwhelm us with what you have done. Even though we are imperfect, God, we just pray today that you would wake us up tomorrow and impress on our lives at every moment just how much you are wanting to do, that there is a broken and lost world, God, and that you are calling us out, that you are calling us to be leaders, that you are calling us to be carriers of your Holy Spirit, that you're calling us to a new story. And God, I pray that you would bring people through our doors, people that need to be here. God, I pray that you would change those of us that are here. I pray that you would place a beautiful vision in all of us, that there will be children that will come to know you because of our children's department and our students' department. And that there are people that have been away from church for a long time, God, that will find you and will find excitement again. God, that there are marriages that are broken because they don't have you in them. And God, I just pray that we would be a safe place, that you would raise us up as leaders, as people, as the church, to do powerful and mighty things, not for our name's sake, but for yours. And so we just give you this church, God, because sometimes we forget that it is already yours. We just pray that you would work mightily and powerfully in each one of us for your glory and in your name.